You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back.
This is June 8, 2021. Those are the words of Vice President Harris, who flew over our southern border. Yeah, she flew right over our southern border and then went about 1,500 miles south, stopping in Guatemala, part of the Northern Triangle, where she met the Guatemalan president and then delivered that speech, telling anyone in Guatemala and elsewhere through Central America and Mexico, do not come to our border. Do not come. Well, there are several points that suddenly catch fire. One of them is from the progressive left, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with all the rest of them saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? We campaigned on an open border. You said you were for open borders. You were for not criminalizing it. And not only did you say do not come, you said you will be turned back. But wait a minute. There's something hidden in there. She did not say, you will be turned back. She said, I believe you will be turned back. In other words, there's still no real policy with the Biden-Harris administration regarding our border. She goes down to Guatemala and into the Northern Triangle with $4 billion, basically trying to bribe these countries to keep their people there. Now, we are told it's going to go into money to help the people and so forth. The people in those areas know that there is graft and corruption at every level of their government, Guatemala apparently being a little cleaner than Honduras and El Salvador, but still they worry the money's never going to get to the people in need. Trump recognized that. That's why he canceled a lot of that. Plus the countries down there were not spending any money we sent down to them to help contain their people and to really create something for them. And so that's why he yanked it out. Well, now she's going back along with the Biden blessing. $4 billion. $4 billion. And she's still not visiting our southern border. Why? Well, she says, I'm going to phrase it for her. I'm focusing on a grand scheme. I'm not focusing on grandstanding. Oh, this lady loves to grandstand, so she would go to the border if it'd be beneficial to her. But we know it wouldn't be, would it? And, of course, she's also denouncing the Biden-Harris White House and progressives are responsible for the border tsunami. It's not our fault everybody's coming. The president of Guatemala said the other day, it is your fault. Biden opened the door and the rest of you. Well, now with the $4 billion or part of it coming to him, he said, well, you know, maybe I was a little wrong. A little wrong. Give me. I'm not saying he's selling out directly like that, but would you not be swayed to kind of temper your statement, change it, maybe go 180 degrees? Yeah. So is the money going to solve issues or create a bribe? Former President Obama speaking out on Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper, saying the conservative media, Larry Connors, USA, and others, are capitalizing on fear white people have. Senator Tim Scott, black Republican, says America is not a racist nation. Leo Terrell, civil rights attorney, a black attorney, says Obama's the last one to be speaking out about critical race theory and speaking about that whiteness is being promoted against black people. That's Lee Otero. We'll get into all that. Plus, a perfect example of how the state-controlled media does stoke racial divide itself and ignores facts or shuts down opposing voices on a constant basis. You know they do, so we might as well document it again. And then we have the story of the New York Times editorial board member. She said, I took a trip to Long Island this last weekend, and I was disturbed. I saw so many U.S. flags. I was disturbed. She was triggered by too many U.S. flags. There's a little more to the story. We've got it all. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500, but say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
To folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border, do not come. Do not come.
Her first foreign trip, Vice President Kamala Harris urged the people of Guatemala not to migrate to the U.S. southern border, where more than 127,000 Guatemalans have been apprehended so far this year. The vice president also responded to Republicans who criticized her for having not yet visited the border despite the ongoing crisis.
This is one of our highest priorities, and I will continue to be focused on that kind of work as opposed to grand gestures.
And see, there you have it. You have, again, VP Harris saying, I'm not interested in grand gestures. I'm focused on doing things, making things happen. That's why I have not bothered going to the U.S. southern border. And she still has no plans to, from everything we see. That was a Fox News report describing how she was handling things the way the Biden-Harris want them handled in Guatemala and regarding illegals. So here you have VP Harris saying again that we do not want you to come to the border. Do not come. Do not come. And she added, as you heard in the opening monologue, I believe you will be turned back. That's a far cry from saying we're going to definitely turn you around and send you back, isn't it? Well, that's because they still don't really know what they're going to do. They've got to deal with the radical left inside the party, and that includes Harris, except for now she's trying to walk the line between serving President Biden and her progressive left, which they're so anxious for Biden to take a stumble so they can step in and take full control. And at the same time, she's pushing this thing, this grand scheme that we're going to do things to help you down here. We're bringing in some $4 billion. We're going to encourage corporations to spend money. Yeah, they've already talked to corporations, because this way it looks like all of America is stepping forward. So she's telling corporations, you need to invest in Guatemala. Invest in Guatemala. Well, to that extent, they're also getting a little response from the Guatemalan president. The Guatemalan president basically is suggesting, how about you give Americans jobs to migrants? Yeah. In fact, the Guatemalan president, Chiamonte, said, we have elevated our request to Madam Vice President, especially in view of the effects of Hurricanes Eta, Iota, volcano eruptions. We need the Americans to help us to stop the deportations for some time. And yes, we asked the U.S. for TPS, that's temporary protected status, so we can focus on development by also helping migrants already in the U.S. Our migrants that are in there illegally, they not only need to make money and send it back to us, but to give them some financial literacy so they can establish their companies and enterprises here in Guatemala, so then they can come back here and create opportunities with what we've learned abroad. Now, on face value, that sounds like a good idea, to the extent that whatever they learn here, they go back to their country, but many have no desire to go back to their country. They get out of there. They know what it's like. They don't want to go back. So here you have the Biden-Harris Democrats pushing a $4 billion relief package to help the illegals stay where they are, despite, as they claim, climate change running them out of their country, and despite it would be a long, treacherous journey to try to come to the U.S., so don't do it. And the Guatemalan president says, they're doing it because you opened the border. We all know that. I know you have grown up being told by your parents, your grandparents, you're telling your own children, grandchildren, your actions speak louder than your words. Well, the actions we've seen from the Biden-Harris White House regarding the border is not clear. At the very best, it's not clear. Much less campaigning on there's no criminalization of being an illegal. And now she's saying, do not come. I believe you'll be sent back. I wonder who cleared that part of that one phrase, I believe. You don't have to have big rabbit ears to suddenly hear, I believe. Well, that's not very clear and definitive, is it? No, because it's not etched in stone. It's not part of the law. They're just kind of waffling. And they're trying to serve both the illegals coming and their campaign promise that we are not going to deport illegals because it should not be a crime to illegally enter our country. You break a federal law regarding any gun laws we pass, we will prosecute you. But if you break our federal law protecting our border, our national security, well, we're going to let that guy. We're just going to let it go. And even Tom Holman, retired acting director with Customs and Enforcement, Immigration Customs Enforcement, said, yeah, we're talking either actions or words, but they're not matching.
The president of Guatemala said Biden's border policies will cause a surge. The president of Mexico has told them. They know it's causing a surge. You don't have to go to Guatemala to tell people not to come. Their actions speak louder than the word. They see thousands of people being released in the United States. They see ICE is no longer doing interior enforcement operation. Their actions speak louder than the word. So there's no reason for her to go to Guatemala and tell people not to come, because they're going to come because of their policies.
Of course they are. Of course they're smarter than, I guess, Biden and Harris want to give them credit for. Of course, they still don't even call it a crisis. Although Obama did, I mean, excuse me, my slip. Although Biden did himself slip up not too long ago and mentioned the crisis at the border. But the bottom line is, they want you to believe we've got it under control. And yet down along the border, that's not what we're hearing. Along the border, we're getting constant reports of illegals causing violence, mayhem, are being found dead in the desert areas because they got abandoned by their cartel members, are finding, in fact, the other day, a report that some Border Patrol agents came upon a young woman being gang raped by the cartel before they were going to let her go. They didn't save her from rape, but they prevented additional assaults as the cartel members rushed back across the border to get to safety. And of course, right now, AOC and all of the real progressives, they are not at all happy, not one little bit, that the Biden-Harris White House is telling them, don't come. Now, that's not the same as saying we consider it a crime to cross our border illegally. They haven't done that. So, again, it's that mixed messaging that's going on. And it gets down to, how are they going to do it otherwise? I mean, do you really think dropping all this money down the midst of Guatemala is going to resolve it? As I said, they have determined that Guatemala apparently is the least corrupt of the Northern Triangle. Honduras and El Salvador, that is apparently why Harris did not make a trip to see them. She left Guatemala and went right into Mexico, in Mexico City. And she said, I'm here, in a tweet she sent out this morning. She tweeted out, I'm in Mexico City, quote, to renew our nation's important partnership with Mexico. She didn't mention anything about immigration and the border in that tweet. None of it. She did an interview with Lester Holt. I'm going to let you hear some of that the next hour. Lester Holt of NBC, NBC News anchor. And he did press her about, you know, you're going to get this question at one point or another. You're not going to the border. What are you going to say? And she almost kind of did one of those Kamala Harris laughs. I haven't been to Europe. I mean, I don't understand the point you're making. She knows the point. She knows the point. But then, as you heard in the statement earlier on Fox News, as they opened this hour, this segment, I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration. In other words, I don't go to the border just for photo op. I'm here doing real serious business. I got this business in hand. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, he's pulling the BS card.
There's a reason Kamala Harris doesn't want to go to the border. There's a reason Joe Biden doesn't want to go to the border. Because they know that if they go, the reporters will follow them. The TV cameras will follow them. Their strategy is simple. It's try to cover this up. You know, you're airing this on Fox, and I'm grateful that you are. But you know where they're not airing this? On CNN, on ABC, CBS, NBC. None of the corrupt corporate media is even acknowledging this exists. And that's why Kamala and Joe are not going to the border, because they know if they go, it'll drive the coverage. And they don't have a solution to this crisis. So they're prepared for it to just get worse and worse and worse.
And in fact, what they've been doing, as we pointed out the other day, we had been told for a time they were turning back young adults who showed up by themselves, mostly young men and 17 plus. Then we found out they're actually putting them on planes or buses, sending them where they want to go. You're free to roam around the U.S. Did not even give them a order to return for a hearing. And they've taken over hotels in various places. I told you the other day, in Arizona, Phoenix, a hotel that was taken over and no one was allowed to go near it because the government now had control of it. They were using it to house illegals. So they're trying to show that our reception centers, as they call them, are not that busy. Well, they're not that busy because they're moving them out Heading them up, move them out, just like rounding up cattle. That's what they're doing. And now for Harris to call out and say, do not come. She's got to deal with the squad, the rest of them, and already AOC is saying, and I'm quoting her, this is disappointing to see. First, seeking asylum at any U.S. border is a 100% legal method of arrival. Well, that's true if you're really coming for asylum. But we know in many cases it's just economic improvement, which I understand, but that doesn't qualify for asylum. And OAOC adds, second, the U.S. spent decades contributing to regime change and destabilization in Latin America. We can't help set someone's house on fire and then blame them for fleeing. That's right. We're going to blame the U.S. again for all the causes, the crime, the corruption, the cartels that exist in Central America, Mexico, and elsewhere. Why not? AOC wasn't in charge at that point, so she can clearly say that. In the meantime, she apparently has been talking about how rough her grandmother has it somewhere, and everybody's saying, well, why aren't you sending her money? Why aren't you helping out? Oh, see, the charity begins at home. Apparently that does not work for Marxists. There's a January 6th report, a bipartisan report out on what happened January 6th at Capitol Hill. Pluses and minuses coming up.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So yesterday, a bipartisan, and I stress that, a bipartisan group of senators releasing a report on the deadly Capitol riot January 6th. When I say deadly, they would have you believe that everyone who died was killed. That is not true. Only one person was killed. That was the woman trying to crawl through the window, shot by a Capitol Hill guard, and we still do not have the identity of the guard. The officer who fired the shot. The others were contributed to health issues, including a police officer that for a time we were told was basically hit over the head by a fire extinguisher and died because he was attacked. And none of that was true. So the report finally is out. And it has some pluses and minuses. One of them was clearly that the Homeland Security Government Affairs Committee and Senate Rules Committee announcing this investigation just 2 days after the riot broke out, having all these hearings and committees, looking at numerous documents and so forth, and ended up being compiled and signed off by Democrat Senators Gary Peters, Amy Klobuchar, Republicans Rob Portman, Rand Roy Blunt of Missouri, and they found breakdowns at nearly every step of the way, from the FBI and Department of Homeland Security failing to raise the adequate alarm about a threat of violence, to the lack of preparation by Capitol Police and other agencies. It included new details of officers on the front lines who did suffer, apparently, chemical burns, brain injuries, broken bones, and so forth. Then they said, we never got any command. They said they had no real command telling them what to do. There were no functional incident commanders. Some senior officers were fighting instead of giving orders. And in fact, one Capitol officer said, I was horrified that no deputy chief or above was on the radio helping us. So, yeah, there's some problems there. So now Capitol Police will be conducting joint training exercises with federal, state, and local governments in the future. But that is not enough in all of this. You know, there's a failure. There's an omission that the leftists want to quickly point out. And they raised a question regarding that with one of their senators, one of those who stand with them, and asking a committee aide, a Senate committee aide, here's what the committee aide had to say in response to the question, did we look at Trump's role in the attack? The answer is no. Well, of course, that's not satisfying to the Democrats. You got to look at Trump's role, his what he did in that. Well, that was not what they were doing. They were looking at how the Capitol Police either prepared for something like this and or how it was handled once it started. No, not enough in the view of the leftists. We want to put it on Trump directly. Now, sources being quoted by CNN, and here they go to their sources again. They're saying the language had to be carefully crafted if both parties were going to sign off on it. So they had to exclude the word insurrection, which they point out does not appear outside of witness quotes and footnotes. The Senate committee aide talking to reporters, or at least to CNN, said the report did not attempt to look at the origins and development of the groups or individuals that participated in the attack on the Capitol. Of course, if you did that, then you're undertaking the duty of the law officers, the FBI and so forth. They should be doing that, and they are, and have been, probably spending more time on it than they probably should, simply because everybody wants to blame Trump. But this was to find out what was a breakdown before this ever happened. How did we ever get to a point where it would be that easy? I had told you previously, I'm not saying this is an excuse whatsoever. It's not. But in the past, they had never, out of all of the rallies that Trump had held during all of the proceedings before the elections, previously and this last time around, there was no violence among those attending generally. Oh, yes, Trump at one time said, well, if I'd hit him, I'd hit him in the head, and one old guy apparently tried to hit somebody like that. But beyond that, there was nothing of what we saw January 6th. But the issue is, as I told you that day, it was bad, it was horrific, should not have happened. They were not representing America at its best. But you couldn't directly blame Trump, although they tried. And the bottom line is, it will always be used as a weapon against conservatives going forward. We'll take a break when we come back. Former President Obama saying the GOP is embracing whiteness and riots.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rottler, Rottler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler. Pest Solutions.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think we have to worry when one of our major political parties is willing to embrace a way of thinking about our democracy that would be unrecognizable and unacceptable even 5 years ago or a decade ago. When you look at some of the laws that are being passed at the state legislative level, and when that's all done against the backdrop of large numbers of Republicans having been convinced wrongly that there was something fishy about the last election, we've got a problem.
Those are the words of former President Obama. an interview he did with CNN and NNN, Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper. I'm going to let you hear some more of it in a moment. But the basic statement was, we have a problem. And in part because there are still Americans, he's talking about generally conservatives, some independents, and even some Democrats, who believe there might have been some fraud in the last election. Even if Trump had won, I would say we need to be aware of fraud. And how much fraud are you willing to accept to say, well, it's okay? And now, obviously, was there enough fraud to overturn this election? I have seen no evidence of that. None. But again, I don't know what we have seen and how things have been handled every step of the way, and most of you probably don't either. I mean, we have our ideas, we have our suspicions. But no, I still think it wasn't run correctly. And of course, even by saying that, not even going to the far side of others saying it was out and out stolen from Trump, which some have said, and who says they may not be that far off, but the bottom line is there's no evidence, hard evidence. See, I'm giving you every possible avenue here that you can say, well, Larry's just kind of accepting that it was not legitimate, but he won't really say it. Well, I will say I have some questions about the election. Yes. And if you ask Hillary Clinton who won when she ran against Trump, Trump didn't win. She has yet to ever say Trump won. Oh, yeah, she made the call that night to him to concede, or at least Trump said she called, and I guess he talked to her directly, and then he went out on the stage, said, I got the call, and all this behind us, let's come together as a nation. But he never got a chance to bring the nation together because the assault, the attack started that moment. There was no honeymoon for this president. They immediately went on the attack. All the leftists, the mainstream media, all of them came coming together at that point. So what former President Obama, is doing is just echoing again the belief that many have that we're in a place where we shouldn't be because too many people question the integrity of the election. Well, there's a reason we question the integrity of the election. And this perfect storm that hit this last time with COVID and a rush to have all mail-in ballots to keep people from going to the polls to vote. Oh, they could go to the grocery store with a mask on. They could go get gasoline. They could go do this and do that. But they couldn't go vote. That would have been deadly to them because COVID was lurking at the polling places. You know that, don't you? Yeah, if you went to the polling place, COVID was just waiting for you to come in. That is not to dismiss those who have suffered, those who have lost loved ones. Not one bit. But it became a weapon for the left to say, well, this time we don't have to do things as before, and we can relax the rules, and we did. And you remember when President Biden made his State of the Union address. The Republican retort, always the opposing party gets a chance to have a response. The Republicans chose Senator Tim Scott, black Republican of South Carolina, to offer the GOP State of the Union. And contrary to what you just heard President Obama talking about, how the GOP is accepting things that would be unrecognizable in the way we're doing things right now, the Senator Tim Scott in his GOP State of the Union wanted to drive one point home immediately.
America is not a racist country. I preceded that by talking about the fact that I have been discriminated against myself. Here's the one thing you don't do when you're confronting your challenges together. You don't reverse discrimination to have more discrimination to end discrimination. You actually would work on a plan that expands opportunity.
Well, see, the problem we've had with both the Obama White House and we're having now with the Biden-Harris and all those candidates on that side and pushing is that we are racist. We're systemically racist. We have a history. We have a history we cannot deny. I've told you repeatedly. And it's a shameful part of our history. Not only the slavery, but the Tulsa massacre we talked about the other day. But it doesn't make us inherently racist. And yet they continue to push that message. So the other day when Obama did his interview with Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper and talking about that we have now dark spirits with inside the Republican Party that's changing things and that they're changing or thinking about our democracy, it'd be unrecognizable and basically suggesting that Republicans are cowing down to the Trumpers, conservatives afraid to speak out, and they are all suddenly dividing things along a racial line. Well, that was exactly the kind of comments and direction that Cooper applauded, and also his colleague at CNN, and that'd be Chris Cuomo, as he analyzed the interview Obama gave with Cooper.
In terms of what the former president is trying to accomplish here in his interview, he's never been known as a hammer, okay? But he did nail Trump as the agent of the animus that is all around us right now, and faulted the right, the party of the Republicans, for being little more than a water boy.
I thought that there were enough guardrails institutionally that even after Trump was elected, that you would have the so-called Republican establishment who would say, okay, you know, it's a problem if the White House doesn't seem to be concerned about Russian meddling, or it's a problem if we have a president who's saying that, you know, neo-Nazis marching in Charlottesville, there are good people on both sides. The degree to which we did not see that Republican establishment say, hold on, time out, that's not acceptable, that's not who we are, but rather be cowed into accepting it, and then finally culminating in January 6th.
January 6th, of course, the Capitol Hill riot. In that one clip, Obama laid out and reemphasized some of the lies that have been peddled. First of all, the Russian collusion, Russian meddling, it's never proven. 2.5+ years, all that money, it wasn't proven. And then he took that lie that Trump was talking about the neo-Nazis marching in Charlottesville, calling them good people. He was not doing that. We all know it. They know it. They're just hoping you'll buy this story again and again. He was saying that as they came to decide in battle, and by battle, I mean protest, either remove or don't remove a Civil War statue, there were good people on both sides that simply had an opinion. They didn't come armed with anything that could be used as a weapon. They didn't come to start a fight. They just came to exercise what is guaranteed under the First Amendment, the right of peaceful assembly. And Senator Tim Scott says that what we have at stake, as he was talking on Trey Gowdy's Sunday program the other day, we as a nation and we as a party do have our values.
We are the most compassionate, capable, courageous people on the planet. Sometimes we forget that. And the first thing I would do is remind us of who we are. The second thing I would do is tell us that we will confront our challenges together, whether those are social or economic or global challenges.
Yes, we will do it together. Not based on race, not based on gender. So the other day, last weekend, an editorial board member for the New York Times went to Long Island and was shocked by what she saw. When we come back, I'm going to pick that part of the story up. Because what she says she saw that was basically triggering her flies in the face of everything we just heard from Obama put on the back of the Republicans. Say Republicans have been cowed into accepting positions to be unrecognizable, unacceptable 5 years ago, a decade ago. 5 years ago, a decade ago, we would not have people suddenly shaking in their boots because they see U.S. flags. And that's exactly what happened with this member of the New York Times editorial board. disturb so many U.S. flags. Now, she saw other flags, too. So when you hear her in a moment, you're going to hear refer to other flags as well. But hear what she says about U.S. flags. That's the crux of what she's really trying to say. Stand by. It's coming.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The reality is here that we have a large percentage of the American population. I don't know how big it is, but we have tens of millions of Trump voters who continue to believe that their rights as citizens are under threat by simple virtue of having to share the democracy with others. I think as long as they see Americanness as the same as one with whiteness, this is going to continue. We have to figure out how to get every American a place at the table in this democracy, but how to separate Americanness, America, from whiteness.
Well, I can't totally disagree with her remarks. That would be the editorial board director, one of them, I should say, on the New York Times editorial board, Mara Gay, as she appeared on MSNBC. She said, we have members of the GOP party, speaking about Trumpers primarily, who don't want to share democracy. Well, I guess I would certainly consider myself a Trumper to the extent that I voted for him twice. But yeah, I want to share democracy. That's democracy's critical. That's what everything's about. That's why we honored June 6, 1944, D-Day the other day. Democracy's it for everyone. I believe in our U.S. Constitution. I believe in our Bill of Rights. And that does not mean for one party or one color or one gender or one sexual preference or one religion. It's for us, our nation. She did not talk about the flags, U.S. flags that disturbed her in that. I forgot. I changed that. I moved it into the next hour because I want to spend more time on it. But I'll tell you right now, she said she went to Long Island and she saw a lot of pick-em-up trucks. They're always, you know, pick-em-up trucks. They got to be redneck, conservative, angry, white people all the time. It's not true, but let her have her little point there. And many were flying Trump flags, which I know she didn't like that. And also flying U.S. flags. And she wasn't so happy about that, basically saying it was disturbing. We're going to spend more time on that in the next hour, because when she said it, she got no pushback from those at MSNBC, because, yeah, they kind of, yeah, I agree, that's... And we just heard from Obama a moment ago saying that we are at a point now in this nation that would be unrecognizable, unacceptable 5 years ago, even a decade ago. But he's not talking about Democrats fearing the U.S. flag and what it stands for or refusing to respect it or anything else of that nature. He's talking about Republicans cowed into accepting positions that would be unrecognized and unacceptable 5 years ago. Well, I put against that, many of the Democrats are, if you compare them to the Biden administration and the rest of them always like to refer to Jim Crow laws, then I would put the Democrats against the Jim Crow laws of that time. Well, those folks of Jim Crow law years, the Democrats, they would certainly say that Democrats are unrecognizable, unacceptable to what we had then. And they are. And it's good. It's good because we don't want that in our country. You know, the other day, chief medical advisor to Biden, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said all these criticisms of me are just they're really very much an attack on science. And even the host, Rachel Maddow, made it so touchy-feely, saying, Am I building you up to be thicker skinned about this than you are? Are you actually worried about all this, these attacks on you? And he said, well, I'm concerned because I think it's an attack on science, not me. Well, here comes something else that he might consider an attack on science, not him. It's a piece in The Federalist written by Kylie Zimpel, an editor with The Federalist, and saying that the problem isn't that Fauci weighed cost and benefits. It's not that he was willing to impose life and death cost, or rather it was that he was willing to impose life and death cost on unwitting Americans in order to benefit himself. In her article, she says, should I ride my bike without a helmet? Well, is a donut worth this many calories? Those are all cost-benefit calculations. Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I need insurance or not? Think back to Fauci, she said, when wearing a mask after he'd been vaccinated and then arguing that it's not political theater, saying I definitely have a, it's not political theater. And yet he had also said on a 60 Minutes interview, there's no reason to walk around with a mask, especially after you're inoculated. And, of course, the gain-of-function research. When he flat out admitted, while we did not take part in gain-of-function research, read that, weaponizing this virus, in the past he had said, gain-of-function research is worth the risk of a pandemic. It's worth the risk of a pandemic if it gets out. And Fauci admits that there was no way guaranteeing his money was not being used for that very purpose. So it's not an attack on science. It's an attack on Fauci and his waffling. In the next hour, more about VP Harris telling illegals or immigrants coming here illegally, stay home.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.